Hello, I'm Kev Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Could not hold him, the grave. people are going to be surprised when you turn. Others are not. I pray this morning that you're not one of those that will be surprised. Let's stand and sing this great song this morning, page 144 in your hymn book. When I Survey the Wonderful World.
Thank you.
Rodney up here don't mean it's going to be two sermons this morning. That's right. I was watching Fox News this morning. And you might see those three guys, those carpenters that broke out.
Yes.
The court, how great they are. But that's kind of unique. And the guy kind of brought out, you know, Jesus was a carpenter, and here those guys were needed. I think they put together a YouTube video and had 9 million hits, and that's about 2 weeks. So. I've listened to words of that song this morning. And it just really touched me. You know, think about just truly how great our God is. He died for us. He loves us. He loves us. He forgives us when we fail. He knows that we're imperfect, like we talked about this morning in Romans chapter 8. Yet He loves us. While we were sinners, He died for us. Let's stand and sing that chorus this morning. I'll break that one. Sing that. You know harmony? Sing that harmony part.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
God, just all over the church, you've heard without budding think this morning. Years ago, when I was making a baptism or having a baptism, started down in the baptistry and with water went from one Sunday to the next, and that algae just built up. Man, my feet went up and I could hear people out there sniggering. But this morning in my classroom, I tried to sit down on a stool. I couldn't stop, and I just hit the floor. That's embarrassing to me, but nothing. God been blessed to me. I hadn't broken anything yet. It was the next time of my life, but I thank the Lord for it. One time I asked Billy Graham, what's the last thing that you do before you go to the pulpit? He said, I'll check my liver. And all these years, that thing that some of them held worried about, I worried about. One time I was sitting there, somebody sitting on the front row there, they kept looking at me, they kept looking at me. And I realized that my zipper was up, all down. And Kelly said, well, I wanted to mention it. Yeah, I only provided a standard, so why don't I want to go ahead and so, thank you, and Brother Ken, and Deborah Wayne. And I say that they'll be paddling this morning. I was worried about them getting one down there going to that water in Charleston. But let's do something this morning. Let me ask you to just bow your heads for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you some questions. I want you to answer that to yourself. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you 100% totally under the control of the Holy Spirit? Are you satisfied with that of your life at this moment? Are you on fire for the Lord? If you cannot answer that in the affirmative, then this morning I want to show you what the Word of God can do. That's the title of the message. You may like to bell now. That's the title of the message this morning. The Bible says, what can I do for you? What will I do for you? I've got another skip here. Let me show you the book things that the Bible will do. In the Bible, you find that it will equip you for your faith. The Bible says that faith comes from hearing, hearing comes from that one, from that the Word of God. That's always like the saving faith. Ephesians 2 talked about you're saved by what? By grace are you saved. And by what? By faith. So you're saved by faith. you have a servant of faith. Timothy, as was told, to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly being able to divide that of the word of truth. And then it will enable us to grow spiritually. Paul also said to that of Timothy, he said that the man of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean that he's perfect, but be mature. The book of James is a whole book, a chapter off, a book pertaining to that of growing up. In other words, we need to mature. We need to grow up. That's what the book of James is for. And so then we'll be able to do that. What's the purpose of that word of God? The purpose of the word of God is to reveal God's person. It's to reveal God's power. It's to reveal God's promises. It's to reveal God's plan. And so this is the thing that we find in that of the word of God. And so they serve a purpose of that of redemption. As we found out this morning, how wicked man can be, how that there was sin, how he was guilty of sin. And it took that from Romans 1, all the way through chapter number 8. Paul was teaching them that we are guilty of sin. And he finally told us how there can be redemption for it. And so that's it. And the Bible tells us also, what would you give for your soul? The Bible talks about there's something that's worth. You're worthy. You're worthy of something. And he's worthy to be praised. And they served that purpose. And they build up us through that of the symbol. In the scriptures, we find that James talks about the word of God as a mirror. And the word of God as a mirror. When you read that in the Bible, you study that in the Bible, you can see yourself in it. And if those things, if you don't see yourself in it, and you don't begin to see things out, then you just keep on reading. Keep on studying. Because you're going to find out before long, there's going to be something that's going to pertain to you. It's like that of a seed. You remember this, the parable of the seed, the parable of the seed and the sword. Who was the sword? The sword was God. And the seed was the Holy Spirit. If it reaches into that of good soil, if it reaches into that of the good heart, then there's going to be the results of it. Right. And also it says water is a lamp. Remember in that Bible school we always teach about, say about, it's a light unto my feet and what? Lamp unto my path. And I always get them switched, but that doesn't matter. I talk about either the lamp and it's something that's going to enable you to be able to go through that little world. Also, the Bible says that it's like that of honey, sweeter than that of honey. And it's also like that of a hammer. A hammer can break down and it can build up. And then the Bible makes mention, and this is just about a half of the symbol, and the word pertains to that is fire. Fucking fire. Fire can burn, fire can purify, fire can conserve, and so this is the thing that we see. It also has, one of these days we talked about that we're going to reach, a lot of people just want to get there by the skin of their Holy Spirit. In other words, when they get in, you've heard that old saying, by the skin of your teeth, how you just made it. And so the Word of God is going to be able. One of these days, when the Bible says when the Christian stands before the Lord, that you're going to be judged, and I believe the Bible will be booked. I believe that will be one of those Bibles. That'll be one of those books that's going to be there to be judged. And so, as we look at these scriptures this morning, this is the key passage of scripture. If you have your Bible, let's look in Proverbs, the third chapter, and verses 1 through that of 3. It says in that first verse, it says, my son. It says, forget not my what? My law. Now, you remember when I pause, that means you say something, right? He says here, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. And for length of days, that is the longevity. Your length of your life can be extended by that of the word of God. And it talks about, and you shall have peace, and they shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. They should have Jews. They wear a little cap. You see them on the TV, the big cap. That's really, it's their Hebrew name. I don't want to try to pronounce that. But it's really, they refer to it as a beanie. And then you find them, there's a man that's got that black felt hat that they wear all the time. That's something that kind of identifies instead of that Jew, some of the different groups that the Jews worship, how they worship. Then you see at one time they went to that ball and they got what they call the prayer shawl that they put over the head as they go to praying. And they have two little black boxes that they look at the one time is for them going into prayer. Another is when all through the day they got the scripture. One of the indications of that skull cap is that they're always unto God. Unto God. And so that's what that refers to. Well, here's my favorite, I think Richard is saying. Talked about, he said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. How can you write upon the table of your heart? I believe it refers to that you have to memorize the scripture. Let it be on the heart, on your heart. And then when you find that, so shall I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Here's that first scripture, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. How many of you remember back in May of this year, there was an Amtrak that had an accident up there in Pennsylvania. There were 238 people aboard that train, and there was 8 of them killed. It took 5 hospitals to take care of the injured. There was a young engineer that he was just new on that route, and the investigation showed that he should have flown down to about 80 miles as he was approaching that area, and then he ought to have been about 50 miles as he went to the curb. They also found out that he was traveling 106 miles an hour. So that's why there was that tragedy. But here's another thing. Back in 1943, 79 people were killed at that same area. And this is something that we look at in the scripture. Not in the scripture, but we'll see that all tragedies doesn't involve pains and pain and sin. The other thing we've been hearing this week about that, we've been hearing about that cargo ship that's on its way from Jacksonville, Florida, to that of Puerto Rico. Man, folks, I don't know what that was. I've done in my life. Got peanut butter again. How many have been hearing about that? That cargo ship, they don't know where it's at. 33 lives. Well, yet there's something similar today. It's not always those tragedies that I'm going to tell you. There are tragedies today that are in the church. There are tragedies. And this we'll learn a little later on. And something similar. Oh, Satan tries to do what? Satan tries to destroy the church. And Satan's got two plans. Plan A, plan B. One of them is to derail the church. The second is to sidetrack the church. Right. And so this is that. I refer to that of the different things that take place. Another thing we're talking about today, about wars. All the wars that we're seeing and we're hearing about. All these wars that we hear, back in 94, they said it was 40 wars in the world. Today there's 134 that we have some kind of part in. Either financial, either by that of a drone, or that of a troop, or by that of an advisor. So you say, no wonder today that Jesus said this. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, notice said, and you shall hear of wars. You shall hear of what? Rumors of wars. And it said, see that you be not troubled, for these all things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Now the end that it's talking about there is not the end of the world. That was the end of the tribulation. When you hear somebody say Matthew 24, Matthew 25, that's Jesus telling us about that of the tribulation. In the tribulation, that's when he'll tell them later on when he wipes away their tears. And so here we see, other than knowing that God's word must be fulfilled, why are there so many wars in the world? Well, they're for two reasons. First, nations have a right to protect themselves if they're being invaded. So there's justifiable war. I think we could say World War II, because if we had that Germans were wanting to wipe us off the face of the earth, the Japanese wanted to wipe us off the face of the earth. And listen, folks, there's only 11 countries in the world that doesn't have some kind of skirmish going on in it. Japan's one of them. And Switzerland is another. Now listen to this. Vietnam is another country. There's not any war going on. But there's only 11 in the world. Now you go Google that and bring it up and look at all those people, all the names of the cities, different countries, all the places that these things are taking place on. And so this is the thing that's taking place. Let me ask you this. Who do you think behind all of this? What's all the situation that's taking place in the world today? I believe it's the Islamic thing. Now that's not a religion, folks. That's a way of life. And they hide by that of the thought that they're religious.
Right.
And so that's a terrible thing. Think about it. Now here's another thing. Let me tell you. Think about this. In the Bible, it talks about in Revelation, there's the great four. You know, that's the one thing that's going to be, that's the one church that's going to be controlling. And it'll be all worldwide. What is Islamic faith supposed to do today? They're wanting to what? They're wanting to have everybody to come under the Islamic faith. All these refugees just going to all these different countries. I know that that's horrible. I know that's pitiful that they have to have that happen to them. But what's going to happen? All these people that take them, you're going to have an influx of the Islamists coming up, building up. So listen, that's some of the things for you to put in your pipe and spoke about it. And why do we have war? It's because people are evil. Because people are greedy, and that's why we have. But here's the thing I'm mentioning today. There's a war going on. I call it the invisible war. And that war is in the church, in churches, in the world. The devil has been successful in derailing that of churches all over this country. And when he's got you derailed, there, you're no threat to that of Satan's kingdom. Now, if you think of just being mean or being negative, then you don't understand what I'm trying to say. The truth, many churches have been derailed. The devil purposely tries to stop every church dead in his tracks.
Right.
That's why we refer to that as the train. The devil wants to stop the church. And that's what he wants to do. You say, how can you prove that things have been successful in doing that? There's another thing to look at it. Why aren't souls being saved anymore in churches? Why aren't souls? Why don't people bring lost people into the house of God? Why don't people get under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that even not inside of a church? Why did that happen? I think because the devil has got Christians maybe living more like the world than they would live like God wants them to live. And they're not witnessing, they're not sharing the word with God, about God. Another thing here, why are we using young people? Why is it that high school kids, when they get out of high school, here they go, no more. Forget it. Everybody's got to work. Everybody's got to have a car. And then when they get married, they're young people. Now, where are the young people at? Young people, if they don't take a part in the church, what's going to happen to the church later on? Young people, they think, well, it's not important. It doesn't mean anything. I think it means a whole lot.
Amen.
It's very important that you do that. So, why do Christians have money for everything else in the world except work for the Lord? A lot of went off last year. They were going with $175 million. We came short by $27 million. This coming year, it's still the same, $175 million. You say, preacher, what's all it go for? That's about half of the money it takes us to put missionaries on the foreign field. And so that's why we have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so as we look here, we have the other thing. The answer to all those questions is that the people have been derailed. Take note, if you have them complaining, they're not focusing on the problem. I mean, they're focusing on the problem, where they ought to be focusing on the problem solved. Moses told the people, he said, your complaining doesn't do anything. It does nothing. But prayer does a whole lot.
Amen.
So that's what they're talking about. And so churches are not functional if they're been derailed. I don't know whether the engineer burned this off up there. And so at churches, when they get derailed, and then they're not going to go anything. They can't do anything. They're derailed. So we see that happen. Now, I've seen this, you've seen it. There's another thing. Not only did I find that the devil tries to derail the church before it gets time. A second plan, kind of like the pen that the devil used, he wants to sidetrack it. Sidetrack it. When the church is sidetracked, what's it doing?
And it's
falling. Not going anywhere. Sitting still. I remember writing, thinking that we rode back on a train back from Philadelphia years ago. We would go 50 miles, back up 10 miles, or back up and let another train track. And it took a long time, almost all night. We didn't get to Johnson City, but we were there the next day. So when a church is sidetracked, you're not headed to your destination.
Right.
Here's another thing. When a church is sidetracked, there can't be a soul win. Well, let me tell you something. The three churches that I had the privilege of being the interim pastor, we used the growth program. I had four men standing at the front. I'd always select, they were willing to do it. And I gave an invitation, if you're willing to give up 2 hours a month, and that'll grow. You come and stand with the man that you'd be like you could work with. And the women were encouraged. You can come, make cell call, call from your cell phone, and that they could do it that way. They could write letters. They could visit the city. Now let me ask you, why isn't it possible that we could do that? We could if we are not sidetracked. The only way that we're going to be able to be victorious, a church must be Christ-centered, God, Bible, preaching, practicing church. And that's why we want to be doing the things that we are. Now, here's three things that I heard and try to get this in. Got me kind of doing some thinking here. One of the first things that the Word of God will do is that it will stir you. Now when we hear songs like you sang here this morning, Amazing Christ, when you hear a testimony, when you hear words spoken, when people talk about the rapture, what's going to happen, that stirs your heart. That stirs you to the point, if you're not saved, you want to be. And then you want to be more about what you should be doing. We took an evangelist out to Daniel Boone years ago when we could do that. He preached on the rapture. He gave an invitation. I was a boy that played with Steve. I like his last name was Street. And when the invitation was given, he went forward. He gave his heart and life to the Lord. He told Steve later on, he said, that sermon scared me to death.
Amen.
It scared him to the point that it stirred his heart to the point that he wanted to walk. He wanted to get saved. And that's what took place in the end of his life. And so you would be doing something. I also had an experience in my life when Allen and Lane, when their house was being built out there, you know, it's kind of on the side of a hill, and the third floor, man, it's way up there. There's no boy up there working, and I saw it up there, hey, Bob, are you saved? He said, why'd you ask that? I said, well, if you aren't saved, you fall down, you're going to spit hell, why don't you? He told me later on, I've got to get a nail on the head. then about two or three days later, I'm going out to check on it, make sure they're doing it right, you know. I went out this way here. I see a truck coming toward me, lots of places, and I stopped. He stopped. He said, what? Guess what? What happened to it? I said, I don't know. What happened? He said, I got saved last night. And he went to a revival over in Irwin. And that stirred me. I said, are you going back tonight? He said, yeah. I said, I'll go with you. So I went over and went back to church with him. So that little boy by the name of Bob Dillon. And so I've seen this happen. It stirs your heart. And the reason that amplifies the heart to keep you from hearing that of the Word of God, because he knows that the Word of God is going to stir your heart. And it knows that the Word of God will do that. And why should you think Satan fights you when you're getting ready to go to church? When you're preparing to go to do that out of a sermon? What's the devil attack to make things happen? Because he doesn't want people to hear the Word. Okay. And, oh, I'm tired. I can't go. They're going to sing the same old thing they say Sunday after Sunday. They're going to sing the same old song over and over. Why does the devil put that thought in a man's mind or a woman's mind? He doesn't want them to come and what?
Hear the word.
The word. What does the word do? The Bible says faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. Why do we need to study that of the word? We need to study that of the word because it will do what? It will equip us. And we'll have the equipment to fight. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Let me say, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, Hebrews says in that verse of scripture, for the word of the word back going for us up there, you sleep. Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of the Lord is quick. It's powerful and it's sharp. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. And is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. The Bible tells me that the word of God is quick. The Bible says it's powerful. The Bible says it's sharper. So you see, when a person is having surgery, there's that anesthesist that puts you to sleep. And then there's a scaffold that takes place that does operate. But you think here's the most amazing operation that ever takes place. It's when a person gets born again, but the Holy Spirit comes into the heart. There's no scaffold here, but it's coming into the heart and life by that of faith. While I was thinking about that, Alan's an anesthesiast, and that one time there was a story about that there was going on in the operating room, getting ready to do the things they had to do. And here was a woman that she heard the doctor say, I'm going to hook up the monitor. Well, she was alert enough that she heard her say that, but she missed her. She didn't get it right. She didn't get it right. After she'd had surgery, and then she was coming out of the surgery, she tells the doctor she's mad. She said, why did you say you're going to hook up the monitor? She missed her. The monitor. So that, I took my little sister one time for a hearing test. I went in that same room with her. And they closed you up in there at this time. And it's spooky. And they asked your person those questions. And then asked her something about that of male. And she thought it was jail. And she keeps saying, jail? No, that the lady would say male. And Stella would say jail. So sometimes you can mishear. That's the word of God. It can be used in a wrong way. Now, I misused the word in a marriage ceremony. I found it funny. I just told people by counsel, I said, whatever I call you, you just have to get through. when Teddy got married, I called Larry Elaine. Because, well, think about it, why'd you do that? Well, I seen Elaine more than I ever seen Larry. Then when Tina got married here, Tina Street, I called her Lena. She said I did. I said, no, I didn't. So she got the plate and plate to me. I did. That's a great word. Then we miss you and be missing her. The word of God must be preached to drive out hypocrisy in the church. What are you referring to? In other words, the things that's not doctrinally, things that are not of God, the word of God will drive it out. Hypocrite can't stay in the church. You know why? Because he's going to secure so much about what he's doing wrong, he's either going to get right with God or he's going to leave.
Right.
And so it's important. And I think if you don't hear something about church not being said something about this too strict, they're too regular and doing this and doing that, I think the devil's got us where he wants us. He's got us derailed. That's the type of that. And you know, when somebody's telling the truth, you don't have to make up some kind of story to some of them. Hell, all through this year, I could be trying to pull her leg a little bit, you know, this way. And I say, you said, bud, you're telling me you lied. You're not coming. I said, what are you saying? And I get to go on, and eventually, I have to admit, I was just kidding. But they can see it. You can see it. But a person that lying, man, there's an expression about their face. Some of these judges that feel like on TV, they can tell, man, you're lying. But they know it by the look of their face. And the Word of God can be used in many ways. Some of the ones that tell the truth. When you tell them the truth, you can hold your head up long. You can hold your head up with confidence. Another thing, if you're out here, you find a real homely girl. And you go tell her that she's beautiful. Oh, she's going to be so excited. But if you tell her she's ugly, she's going to be mad. I had a man that I worked with on recruiting duty. Name was Buddy King. He over in Sasebo, Japan, he had a picture, and it was an old, ugly woman. Looked like she'd been to a debacle. And pitiful. Yeah. And he'd come by, a new man would come in, he'd take her, that's a pretty woman. Just go by. And that boy standing there looking at him, you know what he's gonna say? Yeah. Yeah. But then he'd turn it around, and that would be the real picture. That was the kind of man old Buddy was. Telling and pulling pranks like that. So first of all, the Word of God is going to stir, and then the Word of God is going to stack. We had a meeting here at a crusade in Johnson City. A man by the name of James Robinson. Today he's on TV selling some kind of herb. But back then, he had a crusade here. Every night, man, he would bust the heart on preachers. He would, man, he said they're rotten down, they don't do this, they're flazy. And the people out there, what are just eating out? They were doing it at our expense. I used to go with mothers to church. And the preacher at that time was preaching about lipstick. And I just finally thought to myself, if my God's not stronger than Max Baxter, don't get to worry about it. Or the preacher sometimes sees somebody coming with long hair, you know, like a boy with long hair, and change his whole sermon just to dig at him. That's stabbing.
Right.
And I don't believe we need to use the Word of God to stab people.
Right.
And in the last thing, God, the Bible tells us that God can use His Word to steer us, to guide us, to keep us in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Word of God will do. That's a wonderful promise. And so we must not forget that of the Word of God. So the decision to look to God, where to go, what to do, where did you find the answer for that? When you're thinking about, well, the other person thinking about getting married, if you follow the teachings of the Word of God, follow His Word, you'll be wise. You'll have the privilege of finding a good mate and living happily for a long time. Why is it Christians today get their divorce in church? I can't understand how Christians, well, maybe I can, but there's got to be something wrong in one or the other's life that will bring that about. Because Christians are supposed to be what? Supposed to work things out. So if something happened in your life, don't fret and go to the wrong person to get advice. Go to God. And ask for God to help you to go in the right direction. And so this is what we've been talking about. So God will lead us with the church, with that His precious Word. There will not be messed up lives and messed up churches if they look to God and the Word for their guidance. So the Word of God will spur your heart. The Word of God will stab. I mean, it says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I've oftentimes said it's on one side, it's that to cut. On the other side, it's the comfort. It is powerful. That's what the Holy Spirit is. But powerful to convict, powerful to convert, and powerful to comfort. So when we talk about the Word of God, it's important. Now, think about it. I ask you some questions. Did you ask those questions? You had to suffer one way, didn't it? Now we have a lot to say. Would you please bow your head when there is a war? As they come with that of the faith, heads are bowed. Are you thankful for God's word? God bless this book beyond any ability to comprehend. I hope this morning, as feeble as I've tried, that I've tried to help you to anchor your faith in that of the blessed word of God. Thank you this morning for his perfect word. I'm also thankful God has illuminated their minds in order that we see the need of being saved. There may be some here today you're not saved. Listen, Jesus Christ is here. And by the Holy Spirit, he will save you if you surrender your life, come to him. And he will save you. There are Christians today that are neglecting their Bible. Neglect it. Let me ask you a question. Have you been reading the Bible? How many Bible readers do we have today that were said this morning on a daily how many would say to me, preacher, but I got to be honest now. I'm not going to be telling a lie. I'll be honest. How many would say, I have been neglecting? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Now sit there, I'm going to come back and ask you personally. Let's go about four or five, folks. How many daily Bible readers did we have today in the internet? What? Are you neglecting the word? If you are, may I encourage you, get your heart and your life right with God. Brother Sam, what's the number?
Page 320.
Will you come? We'll talk about people in the hood. Brother Richard, come stand in the front. Somebody wants to talk to you, please. Let me ask you, those that said, I've been neglecting my Bible. That's a sin. That's how you fight the devil with. So don't neglect your Bible. And so ask, just promise God, I'm going to get that word. That's what he wants to do. Let's stand.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. And if you will, you may share this video with friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, WindsCreekBaptist.org. And don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.